The Korean FC podcast is kindly sponsored by Radio Taxis. Give them a call, 70353-709. They know the score.
Hi, welcome along once again to the official Korean FC podcast. Thanks once again at the start of the show to our very loyal sponsors, Radio Taxis, and hopefully they'll keep us all safe and well over the Christmas holidays, which are coming up very, very fast. Right, we're recording this, and of course, the main focus of the football world is on the World Cup in Qatar as we speak. Already a couple of big shocks in a couple of big games, none more so than yesterday, Saudi Arabia. And then today, obviously, Japan getting one over on Germany. Johnny McNabb joins me as ever. Johnny, have you been taking in much of the World Cup? I know a lot of people were sort of hesitant about some of the aspects of the World Cup leading up to it, but I suppose once the football starts, it's hard to ignore it.
Yeah, it's everywhere, I suppose, and it's weird probably watching four matches in one day or four matches being on. To be honest, I haven't watched an awful lot. I watched the first game, I watched Qatar-Ecuador, I watched the England game, I watched the Saudi Arabia game, and then I watched a bit of the Germany game there. And I said to you, it's been plenty of shocks, but you're probably looking for that one game where it's like a 4-3 and or something like that, like a mental scoring game. That's probably the one thing that's missing. There's been a few nil-nils, but listen, notoriously all the winners nearly start slow. So I backed Argentina, so hopefully they've just had their blip and they can rock on the next two games.
Yeah, well, we shall see about that. They did lose their opening game in one of the previous World Cups and managed to make it to the final. So never fear. As I said, most of the focus of the footballing world is in the World Cup, but obviously closer to home and in the Irish League terms is what we're concerned with on a weekly basis. And I suppose the big news coming out of Korean this week was the impending departure of first team coach Paul Owens, former player, of course, at Korean, but returning for a second spell in charge of the Roosters. And I'm delighted to say that Paul Owens joins us this week on the podcast as our special guest. And Paul, welcome along. And first of all, I'm going to ask you, was it a big decision that you had to make?
Firstly, thanks for having me on. Big decision, yes. I spoke to Owen at length probably over the last 3 or 4 days. And even throughout my playing career, any decision I've made was either a progressive one, so it was an easy decision. And then stepping on the management, the time I did the first time, I think it was around the Christmas period. I hadn't played that season at all. It was in the last 6 months of my contract. I had an ongoing hip issue. So even stepping on the management that time, I felt was pretty easy. Then coming back to Korean was probably an easy decision where Korean were and Limavady off the pitch at that time. Although we had done reasonably well on the pitch and we had got a promotion to the championship and stayed up, I just felt that maybe off the pitch they weren't in a position to kick on, and maybe it was probably just going to be a struggle over the next few years, which it actually did prove to be. So I thought coming back to Korean and where they were, and they just won the Irish Cup final, again, was an easy decision. But this one really, really got me. Like, I think it all started to develop last Tuesday. And even at that time, whenever I had the first conversation with Owen, it wasn't something that I was really going to entertain. But it was a Thursday night after her training, and then I had not sneaked off early, but I went down the road and met the Limavady board, who at that time sort of blew me away a wee bit. And I'd went down with a list of questions and what, not demands of such, but what I would need and what I thought I would need to take the club forward. And whenever they were all met, it sort of really got me thinking over the weekend. Like, a big decision, yes. Correct decision, we're yet to be seen. But like another thing Owen always did say, always trust your gut. And the gut my gut was telling me that this was the time. I just felt the club's in a really good position off the pitch, and it has a decent enough position on the pitch at the minute. From where they were a couple of years ago, they were just relegation, and there was a lot of things going on, and it's really stabilised on the pitch at the minute. And I think a big part of me just didn't want to go back in 2 or 3 years' time whenever they're maybe in our relegation, or, you know, the squad's a nice wee age. I think the average age is 23, and it's probably just something I could get my teeth on this. So, big decision, yes, but hopefully in time it'll be proved to be the correct one.
Yeah, I mean, any decision like that is a very difficult one. And as you say, trusting your gut sometimes is probably the best advice that you can give anybody. Without giving too much away, Paul, I mean, you say that you met the Limavady board, and I think you're on record elsewhere as saying that they've got some very exciting plans at the club. I mean, again, as I say, without giving much away, whatever you want to say, but I mean, what kind of plans do they have, and what are their ambitions as a club?
Well, as an ambition, they're looking, one, firstly, to get into the championship. They're looking to get out of that league as quickly as they can. There's a lot going on off the pitch. They're even thinking about, there's plans for a 3G, potential a gym out the side. They're even, believe it or not, trying to maybe rotate the pitch 90 degrees facing Norway, which took me a wee bit of surprise. But there is a lot of plans. And, you know, just off the pitch, the bar has been recently done up in the last maybe couple of years. It's a different club that I left. The changing rooms and all have been done up. Even there's a wee staff room that has even got things like carpet and stuff that they didn't have before. But it's definitely in a better position. And, you know, off the pitch, they have a very, very progressive board. I think there's maybe 10 or 11 on the board. I'm not 100% sure, but they're very active. And, you know, basically the big thing that it came out of, they want me to challenge them. They want me to tell them what they need. And they want to make sure that all board members are working actively to get what I need to try and push the club forward again. Like, so that was a big pull, to be honest, and probably one of the main reasons that sort of got me excited. That, you know, I probably felt whenever I left the last time, the club on the field was pushing off the field. The playing side was maybe pushing the board. And I just sort of feel now that the off the field, you know, the board members are trying to push this, the playing side, which is obviously a good thing. But with that, obviously comes pressure. But, you know, it's with every aspect in life, you just sometimes have to back yourself and go on and hopefully do the job.
you do. And you mentioned there earlier as well, previously, Andy Law, the manager, was in place.
Yeah.
As you said, he's done a good job. I mean, he stepped in there, it must be about 2 years ago, just less than 2 years ago. And to be fair to Andy has done a good job. And he's an assembled,
like
you said, is a good, decent-looking young squad. So, but that's football, isn't it? Some, you know, one person gets a job, somebody loses a job.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's the nature of the game, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was whenever Andy took them over, I think they were 13th, maybe. No, they wouldn't have been 13th. Second bottom, that would have been 11th, sorry, I think. So he's done very well stabilising it. But there's a lot of work Andy's done that probably people don't know as well. And behind the scenes, and even things like the player getting their travel expenses and stuff, everything. Like, I was doing a lot of work when I was back there, even in terms of fundraising and stuff. And the club's in a great position now, you know, that a lot of that's in place. That I feel as if now that I can go on and finally manage a club rather than feel like I'm a fundraiser and asking my mates for to buy tickets or buy breakfast or whatever it was. So, no, full credit to Andy. I think that was his first job, and, you know, he's cut his teeth very well. And, you know, I spoke to Andy last Sunday, actually, when it happened, and then I gave him a wee ring on Monday. I think, was it Monday it was announced? Monday night. So, look, I have a good relationship with Andy, and, you know, he's done a really good job there, and I wish him all the best in the future. Like,
Johnny, turning to you, were you surprised when the news came out about Paul's departure from Corian, because he's been here, I think, probably about near enough 4 years now, and he's become an integral part of the backroom team, Oran's coaching team, if you like. Did it come out of the blue for you?
You'd heard a few rumours, obviously, because Limavady hadn't had the position filled. You know, there was a few rumours going around that Paul might be going. And Oran phoned me on Monday night, and I was literally sitting having a dinner with Laura, and I knew it was going to be. He just says, look, Paul's moved on. And he gave me a short statement of her because I think he was at training. And I bumped into Oran last night. So that outside the gym at the showgrounds, and we had a good chat and stuff. And I think he's obviously disappointed that they lose Paul's services, because obviously Paul's very, very good in the training pitch with coaching and taking drills and everyone else. So, yeah, look, I think Oran's looking at, they bring in somebody else to replace Paul, and that'll probably take a wee bit of time. And first team manager at Limavady, there's things of different for Paul for second spell and Rosen the first. And he's went in there with, not demands, so to speak, but a list of things that he would like, and they've ticked every box. So, yeah, it's obviously going to turn anybody's head. And look, I'm sure Paul's ambitious, and he wants to get Limavady as high up as he can in whatever division they're in. So, yeah, I think it's probably a good move for Paul from an individual point of view.
And Paul, I mean, I was thinking there before we came on, I'm just wondering, what have you learned in the past 3-4 years working with the likes of Oren, Trevor, Winky, and I suppose more latterly Stephen Douglas, who come onto the coaching team as well. But working every day with those guys, I mean, you've probably taken a lot from it.
Yes, I have, and I think you're learning all the time, even whenever you're on your own post. And it's like, in terms of, you do a wee bit of research, and you know the drills and stuff that you get. Anybody, I think, that thinks they make up these drills, they don't. Like, there's great things out there on YouTube and etc. And you know, you're always learning. Like, I think if you're standing still, some other coaches out there learning. So you always just have to keep trying to educate yourself. But in terms of the tactical side of the game, like we're playing full time teams, which is obviously cranked it up a notch. You know yourself, every time you play, every team in this league probably plays a different formation or plays a different way. So there's always, you know, different ways to skin a cat and how you're going to approach a game. It's something that I maybe wouldn't have been as knowledgeable whenever I first came in the post. So ideally, like with a game on Saturday, if I know their formation, I might have a wee bit of cues that might help the team going forward. You know, you're always learning, you're always, you know, looking at different formations, looking at different managers throughout the league. And for me, Corian's got the best manager in the league. So if you can't learn off Oren, like, you're not listening, really.
Would that be one of the biggest differences, Owens, since you come in and now leaving, the influence and the impact of the full-time teams and how teams like Corian set up to play, the likes of a Larne or a Glentoran or a Linfield? Because it appears to me, and probably other people as well from the outside looking in, that the way that Corian approached those games has changed quite a bit from maybe 3-4 years ago.
Aye, definitely. The league has went on. Like, for me, like, I think in the evening of summer, did we make 8 signings? Maybe I'm wrong, but like, for me, I think the squad's in a far, far better place. And if you look at the league position, we're just hanging about that same position as we were last year. So the league has definitely developed. You look at like Larne, Glentoran, all these teams every year just pulling the trigger with 3 or 4 big signings, and obviously with big money and big transfer fees. So with that, the league is obviously getting difficult, and them teams are kicking on. You've seen how close Linfield were in Europe, and you know, but look, that's not an excuse or anything for us. You know, like David Jeffries went on record as saying, you know, you don't feel sorry for yourself. You have to just keep going. And like, that's a big message comes out of our change room as well. Like, we're, you know, you just don't lie down to these full time teams. Like, we're more than capable on our day. I'm saying we, but Corey and sorry, are more than capable on their day, and have proven throughout the last couple of years, but they're getting a result against anybody. But look, I think there's no secret. The first couple of years, you know, against them full-time teams, we were still able to punch above our weight. And, you know, I think we were runner-up them a couple of years as well, whenever the likes of Glentoran and all were coming on. But even wee things like the gym sessions and stuff, I remember Stevie telling me one time, we travelled, you're starting to notice the difference in these full-time teams, just how physical they are, you know, whenever you're in your wee tussles in the middle of the field or whatever it is. So, yes, it's definitely getting difficult, but look, it's not an excuse. You know, you just have to find a way, and, you know, everybody can do their own gym sessions and stuff on their own time, but look, there's nothing beats getting up and going for a recovery session rather than boys in the building site or wherever they are. But you just got to keep going, really, I suppose.
You do. I mean, Johnny, you watch matches, obviously, every week through the paper and social media and whatever. And I think what I'm trying to say was that you can almost see a bit of a change in how Corian are approaching games. And it's, I wouldn't say it's an admission that you can't compete, because Owens is right, we can compete. But over the course of a season, it is quite difficult, isn't it? Whenever teams have got the power and the recovery sessions, that they can enhance their physicality. And do you see that, or am I wrong in thinking that?
No, I think the more time you have with the players can only benefit you. And, you know, for example, Larne will play Tuesday against Linfield, and now you play us on Friday night. Whereas for us, that'd be probably far more difficult, because you'd guys who working all day, and all day Tuesday, then a match, all day Wednesday, all day Thursday, and then obviously all day Friday in a match. But whereas Larne have got 3 days to recover and get nice rub downs and light training sessions and everyone else, and yeah, more time to look at different things and work on different things too. But from chatting to the players, you know, Lee Lynch, obviously he trained with Larne and full time as well, and he says he's really enjoyed the sessions with Corian, and they're just as good as the sessions that he's had at Larne. So, but yeah, look, I think probably, I know it's easy saying this now, but I think this is the first year I've really seen the full time teams really kick on. They look probably more full time as well. You know, you Larne, Larne and Glentoran obviously up there, And Anfield probably aren't just too far behind now. They're slowly but surely creeping up too. So, yeah, look, but that's, as Paul said, that's the challenge. It's not going to change overnight. They're not going to go back to part-time anytime soon. So it's up to us and the likes of Glenavon and Ballymena and Dungannon and they roll our socks up, so to speak, and try and give them a game.
And you I totally agree with the full-time teams. It's hard to compete now, but it, like for this season, even just it's just popped out of my head as he says it. Like Corian went to, we went to Larne, and although we lost the game, we had a great chance in Blacks, which claimed three after a couple of minutes, which would have obviously changed the game. Glentoran at the Oval, I think it was around the 50th minute. Chevy was brought down for an absolute stonewall penalty, which would have made it 1-0 to us, which we went on and lost the game. So, you know, there it is fine margins, and then the 0-0 with Glentoran a couple of weeks ago, like we, you know, we had a couple of good chances, and I think Chevy hit the post and stuff. So yes, it is hard to compete, but look, we're not a million miles away. Well, I keep saying we, Corian aren't a million miles away, and them big moments and them that, you know, scoring that first goal is just so vital, especially in them big games. Like,
I know you're going to have to stop saying this wee Paul, like after a period of time, and that won't go down well in Limavady if you're starting to go away every time.
They'll be all right. They'll be all right down there.
When you look back at your time at Corian, and I mean, obviously you've been involved, and Corian have always been challenging for trophies, etc. Well, I mean, when you look back, and if you do get a bit of time to look back at your time, Paul, I mean, what would you look on as your highlight or your favourite memories, if you like? Is there anything that stands out particularly for you?
Well, he says I look back whenever I get time. My phone has not been off the hook one day as the Slamovari manager, so I don't even know if I'm ever going to get time to look back, but if I do, you ever get 5 minutes someday. probably Maribo, the one would stand out. The League Cup final was great too, but that Maribo just really took it to a different level. And like, well, I think Johnny, you were there too, weren't you? And it's just, it was just mad. It was just madness. It was so surreal. And then the penalty shootout and stuff, and probably the maddest thing I thought. I just remember lying in an empty airport, texting home, and then you go home and you go to your bed, and you wake up in the morning, and you're in your own bed, and you're thinking, what the actual hell just happened last night at that far end of the world? It was just so surreal. I think actually Oren went to school that morning too. Like, it was brilliant, and it was so unexpected, and I don't know what the bookies would have put that, but I would say that would have been about 9-10-1 for something like that to happen. But, and again, it was a fully deserved one too, so it was great. The Motherwell one was a slight disappointment. I mean, I just don't think we got out of the blocks, and then the second half, the King came on Skinner, and he really turned the game on its head. And for getting the penalties so right in Maribo, the penalties just weren't what they were against Motherwell, and that's one of them probably what us. But I fully think we should have won that game. Like, it was, we were more in a match for them. It just shows how, again, it just shows on the day, and I think it happened. So they're full time and all that stuff. But you know, if you prepare right, get your game plan and stuff right, there's no, like, it's only 90 minutes. So anything can happen.
Some great memories, and I'm not being disrespectful to Limavady or anything either here when I say this, but would it be hard then now to adjust from playing in Europe against Motherwell and Maribor and big nights and big crowds with the greatest of respect, going and playing in the Premier Intermediate League with Limavady United against some smaller clubs? I mean that in the best possible way, but
no,
you know what I'm saying?
No, 100%. Like, even it's not just preparing, or who you're playing against. Like last night, I brought my young boy down last night, which again that's actually a big factor in this decision as well. Like, and I see, you know, what Oren and Luca get as well. So I had Ollie down last night, but even things like our kit man Darrell was a spoilt. Like, I had to go last night and actually fill water bottles, and I was like, what the hell's going on here? So that was a job for Ollie, the young boy, and I was like, cheaper. So we things like that's going to be hard to adapt. But in terms of, like, you know, them big moments, I totally get you, but until you're in that position, and like, we have done the Maribos and I've done all this, but for me, Oren's a man. Like, Oren is, it's his show. And one of my highlights of my career is, like, we won 2 trebles at Limavady, and I always remember because we knew the final was going to be at Windsor Park, so it was something that you could talk about the whole year and always vision and just try and get it inside the players' heads that that's where the season's going to end. And it was my mum's birthday as well, and like, there is photos of me up there with, like, the flag and getting a photo of my man on her birthday, and that was a lot of local players in that team, and like, we still chat about it if we see them. So that for me still is one of the highlights of your career, because like, when you're the manager, it's just, there's such a different feeling. Like, there really is. Like, so, like, I'm coming in to Maribor with Oren's addressing the players, it's still his show. Like, and you know, we're just a supporting act, although yes, we enjoy it, and the players probably get a bit more buzz than us, but you know, we're there to support Orne in every way we can. So you do get that. Yes, Windsor Park and under me the cup isn't an Irish cup. I think we maybe had 1,000 there, probably about 12,000 an Irish cup, but that it is a totally different feel when you're a manager. And you know, that's just something that's drawn me back to the role. But it's something like I always seen myself going back at some point, but I just thought it would be maybe when I was about 50 and Orne was pissed off looking at me, or Orne was pissed off at Corey. And again, these time of these things you just can't.
But you can't
predict it.
Yeah, I guess, Johnny, what Paul's saying is very true, isn't it? That, you know, it's okay being part of that sort of coaching setup and part of the backroom staff, etc. But there may come a point when you kind of be selfish or ambitious, if you like, and you just want to sort of strike out on your own. And that's kind of what Paul's saying now, that he's been there, he's been a manager before. And he's now kind of done a bit of serving his time as an assistant, if you like. And now he just thinks, right, time to go again. And you can understand that, can't you? You want to do your own thing.
Yeah, especially, and Paul obviously touched on the fact that he won back-to-back trebles as well. So as a manager, so I suppose, and I said at the start of the show as well, obviously he wanted a few things differently this time at Limavady, and he's going to get that. And the club have moved on, obviously, off the pitch too, which can only help. And yeah, look, so many times now you see where an assistant actually becomes a manager across world football. You look at like Michael Beale, for example. I think Mourinho was an assistant for a while as well. So yeah, just obviously that's a different level of football and everyone else. So yeah, look, it's no real sort of surprise. Only manager before him. Limavady's just down the road for him. So yeah.
I was speaking to Winky this morning, and Winky goes along the ticket to get the tour last night. That's something you used to always say. I swear to God, I could see the 3G from here. That's actually madness. So you're literally home in 30 seconds. So
brilliant. I guess that makes a difference. And you probably know quite a few of the players as well. I mean, there are a lot of local young guys. I mean, I think maybe there's probably a couple there that they know from Korean times.
Yes, there is, and like I brought a coach with me who, well, when I say I brought him with me, he won't be there all the time. He was over Corey in under-20s a couple of years ago. He worked with me previously, so I'm just going to utilize him as much as I can. But like, I spoke to the players last night, and I have to tell you the truth, I was a little bit nervous. It was the first time I addressed a group, and they were lying looking at me, and I think they were more nervous than me. They didn't speak, and I opened it up to them, and none of them had anything to say. And I was like, geez, are they scared of me or something? But like, there was four players, I'm not really going to names, but there's four players on that changing room that, you know, that me and Orne had discussed last year or looked at, or, you know, had a wee nibble at, or maybe, you know, one to keep an eye on. And there's obviously good Toshi and Chicken, who I know all about, and, you know, we've got bright futures ahead of them. So there is, there is a good changing room there. There's absolutely no doubt that, you know, I do feel, and again, this is an R1 of the big polls, it just kept, like, I feel they're in a false position. I feel like they're ready to climb that table. They showed last year that they can do well. And again, I'm probably repeating myself, but I just didn't want this post to come up in 3-4 years' time and the club not being in a strong position, or the average age or the hunger levels not being there, because that's just probably something I wouldn't even entertain, to be honest.
You probably didn't want to not take it and maybe regret it in 12 months.
Exactly. Exactly.
The fact that you're there,
the right job at the wrong time, really, but you can't just put your hand up and say, I want a job now. No, I know. I'm ready now.
You have to make it the right time. But
no, I know.
Your close connections obviously with Corian and Orne and Winky and the club. Going forward, will there be a relationship there, if you like, between the two clubs? I know that Chicken's there on loan, and with other players there, as you mentioned, that maybe Corian were interested
in as well.
Aye, Toshi, of course, as well. Would there be more cooperation between the two clubs possibly in the future?
Well, hopefully, the under-20s obviously are doing really, really well. And, you know, like history suggests, that they're not all going to make it through. Like, that's just the way football is. So, you know, any backdrop I can get from them would be great. And, you know, I addressed my players last night, and I want to be the biggest club outside the Northwest, outside of Corian. Like, I don't feel any player should be leaving me to go to, no disrespect to any other club around here, I don't want to name them, but I feel we should be the ones knocking the door. And yes, Institute might be in a higher league, but, you know, they don't have their pitch. There's a lot of things going on at Limavady that we can grow back up there. So anybody leaving my change room on the progressive side of things, I think should be there to Corian or else nowhere, really. I think, like, that's where I want to be. So, like, Orne always did say, I would love Limavady to get on the championship. So any wee help and hand I can get would be great. So the likes of Toshi and Chicken coming out in Championship 2 is obviously great for them. But, you know, a year in Championship 1 obviously would be a lot more beneficial for their development. Like, there's a lot of, again, I don't want to name names, not under 20s, but there's, you know, there's a lot of boys doing really well. And, you know, maybe it's maybe January, maybe in the summer, there might be one or two in the Toshi situation. I don't might feel, you know, a year out would be great. And ideally, an ideal world would be in a Championship at the end, but it's probably going to be a big ask this year. But that's where I want to be long term. And if Warren can hand me down anything, or, you know, in an ideal world, I would love nothing more to be seeing one of these young promising players over the Korean and watching them, because at the end of the day, they, you know, like everybody, they want to play as high as they can.
Well, that's it. But it works both ways, because some of them young guys in the under 20s wouldn't do them any harm going and playing half a year or a year in a man's league or a men's league, if you like, and
get
battle hardened. And that's the way that football works a lot of the times, isn't it? And you can help them back.
Oh, well, if anybody leaves my changing room to Korean, like, it's, yes, it'll be a big loss to my changing room, but it obviously means we're doing something right and we're in the right direction and the club's in a better position. So if I can squeeze 6, 12 months or 18 months out of a promising player here, it's going to help us short term and then help him long term, which would be perfectly fine. And then I'll just have to earn for one back in return. Hopefully get something.
That's how it works, isn't it? But I mean, Johnny, I'm looking at, I have the Premier Intermediate League table up on here, and that's a tough league.
Yeah, that is. That is. And you always look and teams are taking points off everybody, and the Championship's the exact same. So yeah, look, gives but look, they're, I think they're, where are they at? They're sitting there third or fourth, aren't they?
Seven.
Well, you can only
I wish we were
The only way's up. Seven. So the only way's up. Look, I'll give you a bit of time as well. A bit of time to work with the players, and it's January as well. So January's coming up too. So win the Euro Millions or something and get a few boys.
I mean, you're looking at that league. You've got Lisburn Distillery in 10th, and Armagh, Moyola, obviously Queens, Tobermore. You've got Bangor, Ballymacash, that spent a lot of money. I mean, that's a hard league.
If you look at the table, like, 3 points takes you up to third. You know, if you're on that's how tight it is.
That's true. That is very true, Jonathan. Well spotted there.
Thank you.
I mean, I think, are you in charge this weekend then for your first game?
Yep, charge the Irish Cup against Hyundai Bangor.
I was just going to say, fourth round, yep. I was just thinking to myself, now, the ideal situation would be to beat Bangor, get into the fifth round of the Irish Cup, and then draw Korean.
Yeah, that would be great. But it just shows the different levels you're at here, because I would love to get a fifth round of the Irish Cup, because see them wee 10 match balls you get, they would be lovely for me. Somebody means only Korean, but for a wee club like us, getting them wee 10 match balls on the next round would be brilliant.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you did happen to get through against Bangor this weekend and then did get a big Premiership team, that would mean an awful lot to your club.
It would. It would, especially the age profile of players. Like, you know, it would be great. They'll love no more to go away packed Windsor Park or packed Korean Showgrounds or something. It would be great. Korean Showgrounds, it would be great. I would love to go over there, to be honest. I would love to. I'll be shouting down the horn, and actually shouting down the wanky, because that man never shuts up the sideline.
What would you shout at him?
I don't know. If he took the glasses off, I would know that's time to shut up then, because he's starting to get serious. When the glasses come off, you just take a wee step back.
Well, I mean, like, when you work with the horn and wanky, I mean, I guess different characters, you know, horn's different, wanky's different, you're different. I mean, it must be a real education standing on the sideline with them boys.
Oh, it is. Sometimes. Did you ever see the wee video going around in Mourinho on his assistant?
Yes.
The assistant sits down and the assistant taps Mourinho and gets him going again, and up he goes, he pipes up. I said that's the wanky there. You can get wanky down. All you have to do is wanky. He said something with you or something, and he just bumped. He's away. It was the fourth official there a couple of weeks ago. It was Deggy Hassan. He was doing a sub, so he was sorting it out with Trevor. And there was a tackle on the pitch, and Wanky was going mad. And the fourth official says, I'm doing a sub, but doesn't see it. And he goes, we're going match to match. I'm not using the language you use, but no matter what, you're in a no-one situation with Wanky.
You would, I tell you what, I would imagine there's never a dull moment with Wanky when he's around.
No, there's definitely not.
And definitely even not. As well. But, like, when you think about it, and you're talking about Wanky and stuff, I mean, in your time working with Korean as well, you've you've had the opportunity and I suppose the experience of working with some great players too, haven't you, Paul? And you know, you mentioned the likes of Skinner earlier as well, and characters like that, and just great players.
Yep, big time. Some serious quality in that change room, and came on and through that change room. Like, and no, I'm going to miss that. Like, the training, as good as our training was last night, I thought it was really sharp and stuff, but obviously it's not going to be. You're not watching the quality that I've been used to over the last 4.5 years, but listen, that is what it is, and we just got to adapt. And my job is to get them, not to that level, but to get, you know, just keep improving week on and week out. But of course, no doubt, I must Stevie, I travel with. We used to have a car, can't even mind who was on it. It was Snowy was on it at the time, Snowy, Adam, Bushy was on it, and Lurie, and then everybody. Adam ended up getting married and heading around the country, and it's just been me and Stevie. So Stevie's going to go over that road himself now. I actually went over the road myself the first couple of months when he had a couple of unfortunate injuries. Like, so I'll definitely miss Stevie. Like,
that's crazy, Johnny, when Paul's saying there about them coming from Limavady in the car, and now poor Stevie Lowry's going to be coming on his own, isn't he?
Yeah, poor Stevie, but sure, he was just to travel up the Lumphies, sure, for 5 years, and sure, he's none the wiser, that man, but but listen, what a player he is to you, and yeah, it's probably weird for him, it's probably weird for Stevie too, he probably went over by himself, and Adam, he's probably living in Ballycastle, and we're just down to one Limavady man now, really.
Well, I've told the two Lurys, if you ever mind, all these people are talking about the two Lurys playing together, so give them 2 or 3 years whenever they finally want to hang them up, they can come down and jump on the centre midfield with me, no problem.
Could you imagine the two of them playing midfield for Limavady?
But I actually think it was his mum and dad wanted that to happen, so maybe that's my best approach, maybe trying to soften Ken up. And I think Folly's moving to Limavady soon here too, so a couple of years down the line, obviously Folly's the top goal scorer in the league, and Stevie is what Stevie is, but 2 or 3 years down the line, I would love nothing more to get them to Lurys and all the things. They could come as player, coach, they could be assistant manager, they can do whatever they want.
I was just thinking somebody like Stevie Lowry, you could see going into coaching and managing ultimately as well, couldn't you?
Yep, he's done his B license, and I think, I'm not sure if he started his A, and he is what he is, coaching with the IFA, and like we both done our assessments a couple of months ago, I done the A and he done his B, and I was standing behind the net. I was up next and watched him. Steve is definitely a very good coach. And, you know, with a couple of years' experience, there's no reason. Well, the profile he has, I would see him and Fogg in the same or something. I haven't seen him coach like, but I'm sure I've seen him actually. I've heard him on the TV, so maybe that's a future for him. But I'd have no doubt any one of them two with the profile and, you know, with the experience they have, they could walk on their top job.
Okay, so, well, like, you know, let's be honest, Johnny, Stevie's not getting any younger, is he?
Well, I'm glad you said it, not me. If you look at him, he's the same body type, and he just looks the same as he did all those years ago. But yeah, I've spoken to Stevie about obviously going into coaching and management as well, and he reminds me of the type of fella that would probably, he reminds me more of management than maybe coaching. Don't know if that's fair or not, but it'll probably just take a wee bit of time for maybe to get into the coaching as well. And Stevie probably still is probably two guys still in playing, but obviously the back of mind, I'm sure. I'm sure Stevie will always be involved in football, and who knows, he could be at Corian, he could be at Limavady. But whatever he decides to do, I'm sure he'll be an asset anyway. He's a smart fella.
Yes, Johnny. Paul, Johnny just mentioned there about a coach and a manager, and it made me think, well, what's the difference between a coach and a manager? Because you're obviously a coach, and now you're going to become a manager. So is there a difference?
Not really for me. Well, obviously there is. There's, you know, people, it all depends your style, really. Like my last time, I was a player manager, I was a player manager right up to the end. So although yes, I did take parts of the session, but then I started to pick up on my injury, so it was taking more. But you know, I had two good members of staff with me that were, you know, taking the sessions, but I was, you know, maybe in between sessions and doing my bit and stuff. So like again, I'd probably be a bit of a, I remember Owen calling me a workaholic at the start when I signed, and I definitely probably was. I was doing far too much, and like we chatted about the success I had the last time, I actually did not enjoy one bit of it until I went to Corian and started to reflect. So I'm going into this again, but I definitely want to delegate a lot more than I did the last time. Yes, oversee it. Just something of the role that Owen does. You know, I was very hands-on at Corian, and I expect my coaches here to be the same, but probably, you know, I will definitely take a large part of the session, but
It is. You have to probably, as a manager, delegate more rather than taking everything on board yourself.
Back to yourself, like a bit.
Yeah.
So I lost you there, didn't I?
No, you're all right, Paul. No, I was just saying, as a manager, you kind of have to learn how to delegate as opposed to try to do everything by yourself. So that would be the biggest difference, I would have thought. Johnny, I wasn't there at last week's game, Corian against Glenavon. We'll just take a wee look back at the last week's game. Glenavon, I wouldn't say a bogey team because we don't deal in bogey teams. We don't talk about bogey teams. They don't exist. But what was your reflections on a scoreless draw at Moorview Park? Glass half full, glass half empty?
I thought we probably had the best two chances of the game, but Glenavon probably had the majority, or definitely more of the chances. I was probably relieved when it finished 0-0, being truthfully honest. But when you take out Shevlin, Glacken and Keane out of your team, you're always, you know, not you're going to struggle, but those are, you know, three mainstays of your team. And yeah, it's just one of them afternoons where we take a point and move on. And obviously, look, it's for me personally, we've always seemed to get a few results and then click on. That's always been in the few years, you know, where we've picked up a couple of decent and then went on a run. But we're just probably waiting for that to happen this year. And yeah, we've a tough one now on Friday night. But, you know, Larne, we've nothing really. We've had a few good results up there in recent years. So, yeah, we'll see how they react after their defeat last night.
And Paul, your last game as part of the Korean setup was last Saturday, the scoreless draw at Glenavon. From inside the change room point of view, was that a point gained or points dropped? Maybe Paul's not there, it's just that connection to Lima Valley. But Johnny, go ahead, Dag. I'm just thinking about what was the inside players' reaction to the draw last weekend. Oh, we're having problems. We're having difficulties. Johnny,
can you hear me now?
Can we hear you now? I mean, yes. I'm going to ask you just.
Yeah, but you were jumping on and out of it. It was a tough game. It always is up there. I think it was a eighth game without. But I'm saying we again. Korean's eighth game without. Beating them, but like they sort of know the way they set up, they play their strengths, and you know, two absolute powerhouses up front. And like I think John is right, they had a large percentage of the chances. Like, but you know, like Mikey done really well, they hit the post that time, we done really well, they come inside the man, and obviously we had that wee late header. So, again, with the players out, yes, it was obviously going to be difficult, but I think it was Stevie Lurie, Lee Lynch, and can't remember the other person came under the team. You know, the squad's in a great position, which I touched on earlier. Like we're able now to bring on top quality players, but probably in reflection, that's not the worst result in the world. But obviously, you go up there, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to kick on. Like we're still, Corian are still trying to, you know, burst into that top five. And you just seen, I think last night there's three teams on 32 points. So, you know, if you catch a team in fifth, you've caught the team in third. So, mm-hmm. 2 points drop probably. From what we were looking for, but the way the game panned out, I don't think anybody would argue a draw is probably, you know, the best Korean probably deserved on the day.
I think probably if somebody had offered you a 0-0 or a draw before the game, you may have been tempted to take it, but you know, that's one of those things. But well, looking ahead to this weekend, Paul, you won't be there, unfortunately, for you and the team.
Is it on TV?
No.
I don't think it is.
I don't think it was.
No, it's not. I think just Larne enjoy the Friday night games because they got
good. Yeah, but I thought that.
Right, we've been there already this season, and I think you touched on it earlier, Paul, when you said that Glax had a great opportunity. I think it was in the first minute or something, and
yeah,
didn't take it. And looking back, if you had taken that, it could have been a completely different game. Leroy Miller scored that day and Paul O'Neill scored a second late on. But, I mean, did you see enough maybe that time, that first day, to give Corian a bit of confidence returning to Inver Park on Friday night?
Well, definitely. Like, it's, you know, the first goal was very preventable too, if you remember right. I think it was a long ball came in the box and Leroy Miller went in and headed in. But like again, the goals are massive, and like in the changing, we had wanted to talk maybe about 3-4 weeks ago about just how important the first goal was, and statistically over the season, I think I'm not sure if it's still a case when we had scored the first goal, we had won all our games. So first goal's massive, but again, whenever you go 1-0 down like we did, I think it was after 10 or 12 minutes, like it's always an uphill battle. And, you know, 2-0 might sound convincing, but, you know, I learned how to fully work for their money that night. And, you know, the last goal was, I think we probably were maybe 3 at the back or so at this point. I think we remember pushing. It was just a long ball and a slight mix-up maybe in the last minute with Paul O'Neill going through and, you know, doing what he's been doing all year, really, to be honest. But, look, I've no doubts Corey can go up there and get a performance and a result. Like, so there's nothing to fear, in my opinion.
Yeah, and massive as well, Johnny, the fact that you can have the likes of a Matthew Shevlin, Lyndon Kane coming back into your, I would imagine, back into the starting 11, and that will give the guys a massive boost, wouldn't it?
Of course it will. And, you know, going after using the advantage that they didn't play on Tuesday night, like Lauren did as well. Obviously, they had a big game against Linfield. And, you know, I've said this to a few people. I think the first goal is really important on Friday night. I think, you know, after Lauren losing, if they go behind who knows how they'll react, you know. And I know Tiernan was there on Saturday. He might have seen a lot. He might not have seen very much. Who knows what can see his mind. So, yeah, look, obviously, the last time we were up there, conceded a sloppy first goal after we should have went 1-0 up. And yeah, so the first goal mightily important, obviously, against them, against the full-time teams.
And how encouraging is it, Johnny, that Korean have kept clean sheets, back-to-back clean sheets? I mean, that gives you a foundation on which to build, doesn't it?
Yeah, obviously, I think I've noticed really probably a style of play in our last two games compared to, you know, the start of the season. We've probably haven't had as much possession in the last two games as probably the first lot of games at the start of the season. But with that, we're probably harder to score against, and you're probably just hoping that the quality that we have on the other end of the pitch will grab a goal. And look, it just didn't happen on Saturday. We hit the woodwork, and then we hit the woodwork against the Glens too. And, you know, if the ball goes in an inch the other way, it could be 2-1-0 wins. So look, we just, obviously, football's an easy game. You have to score more goals and concede less than your opponents. And yeah, look, if we can keep things as tight as we can on Friday night and get one, sure, at the other end, who knows what can happen.
Yeah, I mean, Paul, look at Johnny mentioned the importance of a first goal on the back of Larne losing to Linfield at the weekend, on Tuesday. Corey were to go and score early, what would that do among the Larne players' mentality? Is there a potential that could worry a little bit?
You can throw a grenade right in the middle of that change room at that point. Well, if you look at the Glen, I'm just going back a couple of weeks ago, Glentoran lost on a similar situation. They lost on a Tuesday night to Glenavon, came down, and I don't think they've won a game since. So they drew with us. I think Glenfield pulled them out of the cup, and then obviously Clifton will beat them on Sunday. So, you know, that's something that, you know, I'm sure Owen and the boys will be thinking that, you know, one team that started, like, Glentoran, the whole world was talking about them. I think they had the league title up, run around over there a couple of weeks ago, and now they're 6 points behind Larne. So that's something, you know, the Corian, like, yes, they played on Tuesday night. I know they're full time, but the Corian didn't play on Tuesday night. They should be, you know, chomping at the bit to go and get at that. And again, I keep saying, and like, yes, you want to, like, they're sitting in sixth, but you want to catch a team in fifth. But if you catch a team in fifth, you catch a team in third. So, like, it's that tight, you know, and there's no reason what's happened going through in the last couple of weeks. You know, it could be Larne's turn now, and that's something that Corey and all are hoping to be taking advantage of.
Big, massive incentive. Points.
Yeah, massive. Big time.
As you say.
Especially a Friday night game, that's, you know, getting your 3 points on a Friday night. One, you're closing the gap on Larne, and just means you can relax on Saturday and let them boys knock each other out. It's no better feeling than a Friday night victory, like, so it's not.
It's a much, much more enjoyable weekend than a Friday when you
it is.
But as the other flip side of that, as Oren said previously, when you're losing a Friday night, it's a hell of a long weekend.
phone off. There's actually zero chat in the group or nothing that we get if you're losing a Friday night. You dare not even ask Oren anything.
But you'll be busy on Friday night anyway, preparing for Saturday.
I will. I'm busy every night at the moment. The amount of stuff I've had to deal with in the last couple of days is absolutely madness, but everything's sort of taking a wee bit of shape. And, like, I met the players last night, and we're going to have a sort of a bit of a staff meeting. The staff sort of been through together recently, to be honest, with phone calls and stuff, and we just need a wee bit of intro the morning night. So after training the morning night, we'll just sort of just more roles, responsibilities, and what I expect of people, and, you know, what they expect of me. I just want to make sure everybody feels valued and feels as if their strengths have been used adequately, really. And again, then just all preparation for Saturday. Bring it on.
That's the way to do it. Right, guys, what we normally do at this stage of the podcast, Paul, is we have a quick look at the games at the weekend, and we try to predict the results. So I don't know, Johnny, how's everybody doing?
Well, you'll be glad to know, Damon, I've actually caught up with you. So last week, obviously we didn't record, obviously. Condolences to the Mullen family. But the week before, I had two right and you had none right. So I had 2-0 Cliftonville. I can't mind who they were playing. And I had 2-1 Linfield, whoever they were playing. I can't remember what I'd done yesterday, but I still have that. So me and you have caught up. So that's rock.
Very good. Right. We'll start. The first game is one we were just talking about, Larne against Corain. I'll ask Paul for a prediction, a score prediction first, seeing our guest this week.
Even before you start, I have no idea who's playing each other this weekend, and I heard you say earlier in the show about the World Cup. I've been that busy the last couple of days, but you wouldn't believe I haven't watched 10 minutes of the World Cup, so that's where my life's going to be. I haven't normally been able to rhyme off the Irish League fixtures for the next 2 or 3 weeks, and I have no idea who you're actually going to tell me.
You're that busy.
So if anybody's thinking about getting on the manager, make sure you're ready for it. So Corain, I will go for the 2-0 lead like we did a couple of years ago and finishing 2-1. 2-0 up at half time.
2-1 for Corain?
Yep, and a strong Larne second half, but Corain hold on.
You're giving us a bit of thought. I like it. I'll go for a 1-0 Corain win, another clean sheet, and a late winner, perhaps.
Yeah, I remember that gap 2-1 game Paul's on about because I put that on the website today. I will go.
Yep, 2 up early. I remember James, who scored the first? James scored the second.
Stephen Lurie got a penalty. And then Big Albert Watson scored. I will go for. I'm going to go for 3-2 Corey and I with the goals on.
I think you could be right. Yeah, you could be right. Right, next game on this Saturday.
Your big mate Stevie O'Donnell, I got 3-2.
He's getting the hat trick, but. He's Gmo.
I think he hit it every ball last Saturday. Was it last Saturday? I think the important thing last couple of years. It was handful with them two strikers on Saturday, but there's no better bandage going throw his head in something.
Lee Bonus and Paul Adair is probably as good as you're gonna get, aren't they? But anyway, well, that's Stevie's job. He can worry about them on Friday. So, next game is Carrick Rangers at home to Ballymena United on Saturday. Johnny, I'll go with you first on that one.
Carrick beat Ballymena, I think, every game last year. And if Carrick beat them and say we don't go, are successful, they go into the top six. So, Carrick home to Ballymena, bit of a derby, isn't it? I will go for a draw on that. I will go for 1-1.
All right, Paul, interested to get your thoughts on this one.
I know Stuart had a thing over Davey last year, but I think Davey won at Ballymena at the start of this year, I think, against Carrick. Maybe I could be wrong. But no, Carrick are really strong at home, and I would go for 2-1 Carrick. 2-1 Carrick.
I'll have to side with Paul there. I think Carrick Rangers at home are very, very difficult to deal with, and I will go for a 2-0 Carrick Rangers win there. Johnny?
Okay. 2-0.
2-0.
Okay, yeah.
Next one, Paul. Cliftonville at home to Newry City.
And Cliftonville were 2-0 down the cup home to Newry and then ended up 1-3-2 a couple weeks ago. But when I thought Cliftonville looked really good on Sunday, to be honest. And if they get an early goal, it could be 3 or 4. I know Newry's done really well recently, but I'll go for 4-0 Cliftonville, bouncing after the Oval victory last week.
They've got so much firepower as well, haven't they?
They do. Frightening. Probably the best strike force in when I say strike force, the front 3 or 4. Probably as hot as you're getting this league.
It's not bad when you can have Joe Gormley sitting on the bench most weeks.
Yeah.
That gives you an indication. Johnny, do you want to give us a score for that one?
Again, I watched the Cliftonville game on Sunday, and they were probably comfortable as one as you're going to get against Glentoran at home. They just have a knack of just getting over the line in games. I think they'll win this one comfortably as well. I'll go 3-0. And Ryan Curran's goal, by the way, was really, really good.
Weaker foot too.
I know.
Quality player. Probably the most underrated player in the league. Yeah. Quality.
He always goes under the radar, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Paddy plays him every week. Tells you all you need to know, really.
Exactly, does a job. I'll just go Cliftonville 4-0 winners for that one.
Just copy on me.
Did you say that as well?
There you go.
Well, all right, I'll go 4-1 then. I'll give Murray a consolation goal. They always seem to score some ridiculous kind of goal or something. So, Dungannon Swifts at home to Glenavon. Paul, Dungannon really struggling, aren't they?
Dungannon v Glenavon, that could be 6-6, and I'm not joking. I don't know. That's a tight one there, yep. To be honest. I just keep thinking Dungannon, they're going to get a one, but they don't.
No.
I'll go. Them two strikers will be hard to deal with. Like, there's a wee bit of inexperience in the defence for Dungannon. I would go 2-1 Glenavon. Big skin, they score one.
2-1 Glenavon,
yep.
Who's at home, sorry, Damien?
Dungannon's
at home. Glenavon always defend like prime Italy against us and then concede a bucket load to everybody else. So, I think Glenavon will win that game. And I think they'll win it 2-0.
I think Glenavon will win 3-1. And fellow strugglers, Portadown at home at Shamrock Park against Glentoran. Paul, you mentioned Glentoran. Obviously, they were flying and then they lost, I think, to Glenavon, drew at us, lost to Cliftonville. This is going to be a big test for them. I mean, if they happen to go behind against Portadown, I mean, it would be... You wouldn't want to be Mick McDermott, would you?
No, you wouldn't, but... Well, it depends what kind of recovery McManaman's made after the recovery last week he made.
Would you miracle, man.
I was at the Derry City. Obviously, our game was on a Friday night, and I was at the Derry City game on Sunday, and obviously I went a pint somewhere, and he walked past me, McManaman walked past me on the road, and I read on their group. I says, McManaman has just walked past me here, like with a pair of Nikes on him. There's absolutely nothing wrong with him. And then you hear on the Tuesday night, he was at Windsor Parkway a bit. So I think Mick must have waited outside his car and just throw a boot on before you go on to Windsor Park. There he was on Sunday. Although he got injured, although it's a different, I think it's a different injury. But I still would, him playing will be a massive impact on the score, I think. But I would not be surprised if he's playing. I still think Glens will be probably too strong. Portadown didn't look very... very good against Larne. Even the man of the goals looked a wee bit soft, so I would fully expect going for 2-3. I'm going to go 3-0.
Johnny, what do you think?
Just to echo the comments, it was great to see McManaman back. I thought he died. So fair play, he's coming back.
If you go onto Twitter and look at the replies, whenever they've done an update, some of the replies are absolutely brilliant.
I seen Aaron Jarvis's. That was brilliant. He's joined the media team for that alone.
What did he write? Aaron Jarvis.
He wrote about a story with Dean Jarvis having a talk with Piers Morgan, an exclusive. You know, like, as Ronaldo.
I didn't even see that.
That's brilliant.
I wonder who thought of that for Jarvis.
Definitely wasn't Jarvis. Definitely.
No, must have been his muscles or something done over.
To be honest, I felt really sorry for Dean Jarvis about the whole thing. You know, I'm sure he felt really, really bad. And look, I'll be honest with you. Yes, he was late and it's from behind, but I personally thought there was two worse tackles in that game than Dean Jarvis's, being totally honest. I thought Bobby Burns.
Which one? Bobby Burns was shocking.
And to be honest, Linden's, the one they didn't get booked on Bobby Burns, was pretty late as well. And, you know, so, yeah. And then obviously people have come out in the media. Tim McCann's been on more media than probably Piers Morgan has. And...
Yeah.
And obviously he's came out and everyone else, and then obviously McManaman plays, and McManaman didn't look fully fit even when the game started, and obviously he's come off now with an injury on the other ankle or leg or whatever. So yeah, look, it's Dean, probably Dean Jarvis, I feel probably sorry for it in a way. So obviously all this really cool, a career ending tackle, and the player had a fractured leg 1 week and everyone else. So, but look, the main thing is obviously Connor is fit-ish, if that makes sense. So has no full-time damage, great, and he can play football again. But I just, about Dean Jarvis, I thought a bit harsh on him. In terms of the game, I'd love to see Portadown score first, just to see how the Glens would react after their many sort of crisis, I suppose, around, if you can call it that. Again, you know, they win their two games in hand, they go top of the league. So I do think they'll grind that one out. Shamrock Park's not an easy place to go, but I think they'll grind it out 2-1.
You were saying about the tackles that night, and the Glentoran game. I went home and watched, you know, just sort of flicked at half time to see what the boys in the studio, not the studio, on the side of the pitch were saying. And I couldn't believe the Bobby Burns tackle, because we were right beside it, and I actually thought Aaron Jarvis had broke his leg. I watched the replays and the reviews and all, and they were like, Bobby Burns could have got hurt. And I was thinking, what game are you in to watch?
Jeremy Jolton said it wasn't even a foul.
Unbelievable.
I would have to back up what Johnny's saying. I think, you know, what was said, etc., about Dean Jarvis, I think it was very unfair on Dean Jarvis. Yes, it wasn't the best of tackles, but it's football, you know. We've all seen games and played games where there's been like tackles like that. It happens. And for Dean Jarvis to be singled out and to, you know, I don't think it was fair. It wasn't fair to highlight him. So, but hopefully that's not put to bed. But in terms of Portadown against Glentoran, I think bad and all, you know, as maybe things have been for Glentoran in the past week, you would expect them to beat Portadown. I'll go for a 1-0 edgy, nervous win for Glentoran in that one. And then final game, Paul, you'd be pleased to know that this one's on BBC Northern Ireland on Saturday tea time, just after you finish celebrating your victory over Bangor in the Irish Cup. You can go home and watch. You can go home and watch Linfield at home to Crusaders. That's another big one, isn't it?
That is a clinker, actually, and that's on BBC.
It's on the BBC.
Linfield at home, did you say?
Linfield's at home, and to put it into perspective, Linfield are now into fifth place on 32 points, the same as Crusaders on 32.
Literally, Linfield are coming. I still think Linfield won the league.
I think, but, I posted that last night.
On the predictions, well, Folly Lawyer is definitely going to score because he scores every week. So I would probably, but on a tight game, because Linfield just don't smash anybody, they just seem to get over the line. So I would probably, given Folly as customary goal, I'll go with a 2-1 Linfield.
Yeah.
Two goals from set plays.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, you're not far wrong there. Johnny.
Yeah, Linfield are, you know, I said about 2 or 3 weeks ago, they had no room for error. I think they've won every game since, and the other teams have sort of dropped a few silly points here and there. Again, last night you probably look at it, if Larne beat them, I think they would have been, what, Larne would have been 12 ahead of them, would I have been right to say?
Yep.
So, how many times have you seen them get the job done? 1-0, Michael Newbury. I've watched Crusaders 5 or 6 times, and 3 of them they've been absolutely minging, and 3 of them they've been very, very good. So you just really don't know what you're going to get. I thought the night
they've hit me back now too.
I watched them. They beat Linfield and BBC. I think was it 3-1 or something. They were 1-0 down.
2-1 now. They're 1-0 down.
And they were brilliant that night. And yeah, I watched them against Ballymena and they were minging. So that's a tough one. Again, I think Linfield will get the job done myself. And I think they'll win 2-0.
I can't go against anything that you guys have said. Linfield, just the Linfield way, just get the job done. And grind it out. I'll go for a Linfield 1-0 victory. I mean, they're 32 points and Larne are sitting first on 38, and it was only a couple of weeks ago that it seemed to be that Linfield were sort of out of the title race completely, and now they're within striking distance of first place. It's incredible, yeah. Isn't it? But it's the Linfield way, Paul, isn't it?
It is. And like, I've just said I do think Linfield have won the league, but this honestly is probably the first time that I've took Larne pretty serious and thought that they might be able to stay. Like, their profile of signing, they went away from that wee tippy-tappy stuff, and they seem to have them two powerhouses up front. Leroy Muller's flying. Ben Doherty's absolutely flying in that wing-back position. He's doing really well. He looks so fit and strong. Maybe I would just... The only thing about Larne, like, have they got the depth and the strike department to play that formation? If one or two of them was to get injured, I don't even know who would come in for them. I think that wee boy lost there or something, but, you know, Linfield just do what Linfield do every year. They never really seem to blow teams away, or it's probably just the fans, the pressure right under the fans. Nobody really seems to compliment them, but they just always seem to get the job done. And what are the 3 or 4 years in a row they've won it?
That's champions
just,
for you.
Just floating under the radar, just doing what they do. But,
yes, well,
fair play. At least Linfield are such a legible club too, because the way nobody's annoying you on social media, or nobody like David Healy and all, they're very classy and everything they do compared to.
I would agree with some other people. But no names.
No, well, I'm not in a position now, so I probably could give names, but I think we all know who we're talking about.
Save that for another day. But yeah. Here, before we wrap this up, we'll wrap this up shortly. both of you are no Manchester United fans. I think both of you are.
Yeah.
You're now going to be a manager, Owens. I have to ask you, what do you both of you think about the whole Ronaldo situation?
Well, firstly, I didn't like the way the wee Garnacho got his one goal last week, and then Ronaldo still brought out them big breaking news about his injury and after he burst his bubble. So Ronaldo getting the world headlines yesterday about being released. I love the fact that United just released that they were selling the club about 2 years later, just absolutely burst his bubble. And then I turned on, I came home from training last night, I think it was 11 o'clock headlines, I was trying to catch up and everything, and it was all about United selling the club. So it was good that Ronaldo wasn't getting his wee moment. So yes, he was a legend and all that, but I'm glad he's away. Nobody's bigger than a club.
Yeah, what about you, Johnny?
Yeah, not just saying this because Wimsey said it, but I would echo all the statements. You know, you don't leave the ground early when your team had a good win against Spurs, probably the best performance under the manager. And if I'm getting paid 500 grand a week and feeling betrayed, there's something seriously wrong. And I think Gary Neville, or was it Rooney, one of the two spot on really, really well, is that Ronaldo's coming in his career, and I don't think he wants to accept that. You know, he probably still thinks he should be playing as much as he does when he's 26, 27. Like, nobody's ever going to, you know, judge Ronaldo in his career, or, you know, doubt his career and what he's done. He'll go down as one of the best players ever. But I think, you know, to go out and, you know, say you have no respect for your boss and everyone else, it just had to be his way or no way. And look, there's nothing to do. I think United have played better when Ronaldo hasn't been on the team and they move on. And yeah, I think looking back, he probably won't, but I think maybe 5-6 years, I think Ronaldo should have done that. And for a club of Man United as well, I suppose, on the other side, and Ronaldo, who he is, surely they just could have come to some agreement like they have done and just got rid without any interviews and this type
of thing. You say he might regret that in 5 years. I actually don't. If listening to him and the personality has,
I probably won't.
I see he's linked with Newcastle, like, and the way Eddie Howe's doing that and going about his business, there's no way he's bringing that boy on that team.
I would, if I was a big team like that, who knows?
I'll go back to Sporting Lisbon or something.
I don't know. That's for somebody else to worry. Paul, you've got your own worries as a manager now, so let's hope you don't have that type of situation to deal with.
No, hopefully not. I've got a couple of wee situations already, but sure.
But you're here. That's where you're getting paid the big bucks for, so, you know.
Big bucks. Not getting paid as much as Johnny.
Nobody gets paid as much as him.
Nobody is.
He's Ronaldo-esque money. But here, Paul, thank you very much for your time.
No problem at all.
Yes, Paul.
It's been a pleasure to have you on. And on behalf of everybody connected with Korean, wish you very best of luck in your new venture. And I'm sure, Johnny, you would back that up.
Yeah, definitely. See you in pre-season behind the dugout, giving you a bit of abuse. Owens, and you can fill
nothing,
in.
Nothing new there.
No, you can fill in whatever blank you. No, fill in whatever blank you want there, and we'll go with that.
No, hello. Well, thank you, and I'll not be a stranger. I'll be over anytime I can. So,
yeah, that's
what he's about.
And we'll see you soon. Right, well, thanks.
Who do you want, Johnny? One question. Who do you want for the Rangers job? Not that I care.
Oh, that's a good question.
I don't know. You see, a lot of people have been saying Michael Beale, and yeah, he's done well at QPR, but there's a lot of expectation probably at Rangers and it would be at QPR with all things. Because I don't know. It's a weird one. Like, Sean Dyche would come in and automatically earn respect and everyone, but Rangers fans weren't really too happy with Giovanni's style of play, and I don't think Sean Dyche is known for swashbuckling football either, so it's a difficult one, it really is, but they need somebody. Gio's a weird one because he got us to the Europa League final, but you know, you couldn't beat Livingston or Ross County at home. It's a weird one. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. There's no name really stood out or like, yeah, I really, really want him. So,
DVG been like that at all, though?
I think he has been, but then, you know, I just don't see him coming back as well. I think Michael Beale was a big one for Gerrard. And then somebody mentioned Raf Hussenhuytl, or, you know, the Southampton manager. Because Ross Wilson brought him to Southampton, and he's also the sporting director at Rangers, so he's been linked too. But yeah, look, it's one of them ones that's over, obviously, my, you know, everyone will have a different opinion, and I think Michael Beale is the strong favourite, so probably it'll be him.
It's a big job for somebody, isn't it?
It is, like, they're 9 points behind Sully. I'm not just saying this, you know, all my knees are over, but the league's over. Sully aren't going to drop 9 points. I know you have 3 or 4 games left, but Rangers aren't going to win all three. So, and then the Champions League campaign was a bit of a disaster. I think Rangers celebrated too much getting there, never mind playing in the games. And probably the worst group you could have got, to be fair. But yeah, it's a big job. But get somebody in and evaluate over the next few months and get into January, and whatever money you have, try and sign a few decent players and get a really good few as well.
There you go.
There you are.
Like, I'm 28 right. And I look 58, and that's my football team. So that's it in a nutshell.
That's between what? Rangers, United, and Korean.
That's my life, Johnny.
And married life.
That's hard. That's
he's not life. Here, so I can say it. Married life.
You want to try supporting Leeds the odd time? That'll sort of put you on YouTube. But
up Leeds, the.
Up Leeds, you're right, Johnny. On that note, guys, thank you very much once again for
no
your
problem.
Time. Thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to our sponsors, Radio Taxis. We'll see you over Christmas. And best of luck to Corian on Friday and, of course, to Limavady on Saturday. So thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.